Okay, well, in the recent days, the stark reality of the prevalence of sexual violence in this country has been revealed. One in two women and almost a third of men have suffered some form of sexual violence in their lifetimes. 65% of women aged between 18 and 24 reported being victims. And the majority knew the perpetrator. The research based on 4,500 respondents by the Central Statistics Office is the most extensive body of work ever carried out into sexual violence in the state. It didn't, however, investigate current levels of sexual violence involving children, an area of extra and obvious concern. I've been speaking about this to Marina Porter, the manager of the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre, and I began by asking her if she was surprised or indeed shocked by the figures revealed by the CSO.
Well, like many of our colleagues, not surprised in the least, sadly, but the figures are shocking when you see them there in black and white in front of you. I think the nation will find them extremely shocking because sexual violence is still quite hidden in our society, in our communities. I think the number of people who contact us, the number of clients we have, like the huge increase in demand for our service since I've been here over the last 8.5 years, the increase in younger clients coming forward, which is, it's great that they're coming forward and people are coming forward earlier, but just that the number of young people, like young teenagers affected by sexual violence, I find that particularly disturbing, and as would everyone, but it is quite shocking. We lowered the age to 16 here a few years ago, and then it was lowered to 14. And we really saw the need to lower it yet again. Thankfully, we got funding for the last 2 years from the Late Late Toy Show, and we were able to reduce the age to 12.
Is this people reporting on historic abuse perpetrated by an adult? Is it something that occurred within the family, or is it something that happened within their peer group?
We do have the historic abuse, but the majority we would see, it's from their peers. Could be someone they're in school with, a friend of a friend, maybe someone they've been dating, or sometimes maybe an older teen has groomed a younger teen.
And why would they not be able to, say, report that to maybe an adult family member? Might there have been alcohol involved and they were maybe scared that they would get in trouble over the context it happened in? Or are they simply not able to frame it to themselves as something that's a crime that should have been reported?
It's a little bit of both. The majority of our clients, they have told their parents or guardians, though it could have taken a year and a half. But what we see is a lot of young people, they don't want to upset their parents. They're trying to be protective of their parents as well. And it's just really sad because they feel the shame and the guilt and the self-blame that obviously belongs to the perpetrator or perpetrators. And so we now have a parent group as well, a parent support group, and the parents feel the exact same feelings. You know, they want to protect the young people and they feel shame, self-blame and guilt, none of which, you know, belong to them either. So we do try and support the young people and their families and carers or siblings.
What is it that people are reporting to you is that they found themselves in a situation where they had consented to basically low-end contact like kissing and then things got out of control in a hurry, or there were demands being made of them that they were so shocked by they went into freeze mode?
It can be that, or sometimes there's been no consent for anything at all. No consent given for anything. And last year was the first year that we really noted that there's been a level of physical violence, not just sexual violence. So young girls have been getting beaten up as well as sexually assaulted or raped, which is really, really shocking and really disturbing.
What's inspiring this? What's driving this? Where are young boys, I presume it is you're talking about, where are they getting the ideas for this?
Well, I suppose that's the million-dollar question. We do believe access to pornography and violent pornography has a lot to answer for. There's so much online now that never was before, stuff like that. And it's seen not as anything serious at all, because we have a schools program here, and talking to young people, they don't realise that certain things are a crime, like sharing intimate images, passing them on. They don't realise they're breaking the law by doing anything like that. They just don't know.
And what does trauma look like in a young person like that? When they report to you, are they talking about, you know, becoming disinterested in sports, unable to go to school, not interacting with their peers anymore, the breakdown of friendships, you know, the impact on their mental health?
It's such a vast spectrum, but really young people are on the whole isolated. They can also be bullied by their peers and blamed.
In what way?
In cases where the perpetrator or alleged perpetrator may be in the same social circle or same educational establishment or anything like that, and it's usually females we're talking about here, that they can be excluded and ostracized, you know, stuff on social media, that they're getting the blame.
And what, when you say bullying online, are you talking about people, I suppose, revealing details of what's happened to them online?
Yeah, or they're saying, you know, you're lying. He's a good guy. He would never do that.
And is that by both boys and girls?
Sadly, the female peers seem to be more active on that front, which is very sad. And again, it's due to lack of education, I think, Colm, that people don't know what trauma looks like.
When somebody comes and presents to you and has a safe space to talk about the impact on their life, laid out in unvarnished terms, what is that impact?
Well, they're very withdrawn. They're very quiet, often physically afraid to go out in social settings or leave the safety of home or their bedroom. They have so many feelings of doubting themselves, blaming themselves, if I hadn't gone there, if I hadn't done this, which adults, survivors, experience all the same feelings and guilt. And just not sleeping, not being able to eat, not being concentrating, panic attacks, replaying it in their mind.
You mentioned there you have a parents group as well, and they're obviously a key person in the lives of a lot of young people. Parents may have feelings of confusion and blame themselves. You mentioned young people are protective, and yet parents will find this upsetting. So how does a parents group equip parents to be people who can be disclosed to in a way that doesn't make a young person hold back because they see the visible signs of their parents becoming upset? How do you train parents to be that trusted adult?
It's not so much as training. It's psychoeducational. It's very much a peer support group. So we have parents at different stages on the journey. You know, some have been through the legal process, some have just been disclosed to as parents. So they're sharing the experiences of maybe young people being really angry or not socialising and just discussing, you know, those feelings of guilt and blame and basically to, you know, communicate with young people, don't start helicopter parenting them, you know, have the conversation. It's about striking that balance, just communicating. So then we would say to young people, you know, your parents need to know that you're safe as well. You've got to have a compromise here and check in with them too. But for young people then to see that their parents are coming and getting support is a huge thing.
What about the preventative end of things? The dealing with people who may have been affected by their own use of pornography, who may have an undeveloped understanding of consent and who may have very unhealthy attitudes as regards what's acceptable when it comes to sex.
It has to come back to education. It starts at home with conversations about respecting yourself and bodily autonomy and then respecting others. And I think then we're part of the Rape Crisis Network, so there's a schools program. Other centres have various consent training programs, but they all need to be funded. Professionals go out and deliver this training into schools, because if you go into a classroom and talk about consent, you're going to have at least one or two people who've been affected by sexual violence in that group. So you need to be able to deal with a disclosure and, you know, give people a warning ahead of time. You may need to leave, make sure there are supports afterwards, because people, they're not educated. And sadly, in Ireland, we're still not great about talking about subjects like this.
And based on the experience in your own service, where is funding at? Where is resources at in terms of being able to recruit the right kind of staff and have, I suppose, a spread in a county as large as Donegal, to have a spread around where young people who don't have access to their own transport can access it on a kind of a walk-in or at least a short distance away from their home?
We did have more outreaches around the county before COVID, and then many of them were in healthcare settings, which was great. People gave us, you know, space for free, say a day a week, half a day a week. And so we were able to go out to the community because, as you know, we don't have very much public transport here in Donegal. Now we just have two outreach centres, Donegal Town and Buncrana. We have got money from the Late Late Toy Show, as I said, for the dance movement psychotherapy and the art therapy for the under 18s. We've got additional money from TUSLA, but we still need more therapists because we have a huge waiting list and we do need to get more outreaches. But I don't have the staff to do them now, even as things are opening up. We just don't have the staff.
And that was Marina Porter, manager of the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre, speaking to me earlier. And if you were affected by anything that was raised in that interview, if you go to rte.ie/helplines, there's details of helplines that you could contact there if you have been affected by anything. Sean Fleming, to you first on this. We've heard there in Marina Porter's interview that young people are presenting at rape crisis centres who run services for young people around the country. There's a gap in research when it comes to young people, a gap in services and a problem around prevention. What's the plan?
Well, the first thing is in recent times and especially during COVID, the Garda Síochána have dedicated officers in every division around the country to deal with issues of sexual and domestic violence. I can say categorically, during the couple of years of COVID, they got top priority. When a phone call came into a Garda station, there could have been a robbery, there could have been an assault, but if it was sexual or domestic violence, the guards went there first. So the guards, from that point of view, are moving in straight away. But what we're talking about here really are the issues that are not reported to the Gardaí. And I think the hint was in that interview when the lady said it's mainly girls are affected. So I think we have to start with the boys to show respect to the girls. And I think that's the bit that hasn't been mentioned sufficiently as far as I'm concerned, because most of the boys have younger sisters or older sisters or family members. And would they like one of their friends doing it to one of their family members? And I think, and the girls are the people who are directly affected in the vast majority of cases. And I do think we have to actually start a programme for young boys in particular to show respect, because they're taught that when it goes out to play sport, but they need to be taught that when they're dealing with girls.
All right, Keane O'Callaghan.
I think there is a role for education on this. We have an ad hoc approach to this across the country, both in terms of frontline services, but also in terms of education, depending on school someone goes to, depends on the level of education they're going to get around these issues. And that's completely unacceptable. We need to have, in every school, we need to have fact-based, science-based relationships and sexuality education. That should just be an absolute given. We don't have that. At this stage in our development as a country, we don't have that across the board. We don't have in every school really good education in terms of consent and all the issues around that. And we should have these as absolute basics, and everybody should be able to access those. It took more than 20 years to get this survey in place by the CSO. So, look, it is welcome that we finally have this now. But certainly up until very recently, this has not been treated with the kind of seriousness that it needs at all. We can't be in a situation where frontline services aren't properly funded, where people are on waiting lists to see therapists, where it depends on what part of the country you're in terms of whether or not you're going to be able to access a service. It really is time now for us as a country to give this the resources and the time that is needed.
Verona Murphy, 2/3 of young women aged between 18 and 24 say they've been affected by sexual violence. We have to assume some of that at least was before they reached the age of 18, which feeds into what Marina Porter was talking to us about. But when we see the high level of trauma and the after effects of that in society, what services are there in your experience, in your constituency, for people to access if they do come forward and report?
Very few is the honest answer, and I deal with this every day of the week. As a politician, I visit a lot of schools in my county. Sometimes they're all girls, sometimes they're all boys, sometimes they're mixed, but both primary and second level. And I think we have huge gaps in education. We have massive gaps in services, but we also have a gap in parental approach. And I think the reason for that is many of our parents are not familiar with the exploitation that goes on social media. They're not aware of how much damage is being caused by social media. And as a result of, you know, an intervention in those areas, young boys and girls are actually reluctant to report, because whilst they want their devices to talk to their friends and one thing or another, they're subsequently getting the abuse and the exploits, but they don't want their parents to intervene. So hence they keep it to themselves. And I've had this conversation in schools, and I think rather than say it's boys versus girls, I think we have to look at aspects, and it's been brought to our attention as politicians. Certainly, I know I've had groups in Leinster House where they've presented to the Taoiseach studies that they've carried out themselves in relation to drinks being spiked, and with proposals and, you know, how they might remedy it. But they certainly want action taken. There has been none. It's not being discussed. It's a huge issue. It's a massive issue. And I talked to the Garda enforcement. I talked to parent supervisors who we now have. We're back to teenage discos, as we call them, whatever. And I've been speaking to the parents who are supervisors. They find it extremely, and many of these parents are the older cohorts who are more involved in the community setting, and they're there to allow the event to go ahead, but they're finding it very difficult to control or have any influence where they're trying to exercise control. There's an element of drugs, there's an element of drink,
right?
Everything that comes to play that's not been taken care of through services,
Sean,
and education.
Funding is normally based on a business case. Business cases are normally based on statistics. Yeah. We were without accurate statistics until this year, since the Savvy report was done in 2002. We've heard from Marina Porter what's going on, that anecdotally in Donegal. Is there a strong argument in your view to do the necessary research into younger people below the age of 18 and to do more regular research when it comes to adults?
There certainly is. And I understand from the report we've seen from the CSO, in the coming weeks we're going to get far more detailed breakdown of information. There's subsidiary information that will be released in the immediate future, which will be very helpful, because I think most people will be taken aback by the scale of this. And I think a lot of it is because maybe sometimes people feel a bit shame and they don't want to report it, as Verona says, to their parents or somebody else. So I think the fact that we know is far more widespread, we can tackle it on a more widespread basis, rather than, we obviously have to deal with the individual cases that come to light, but we need a broader approach because it's a much broader issue, and that's why the CSO report is so good.
What about what Cian O'Callaghan said there about a science-based approach to be rolled out? There has been, in some quarters, resistance to that.
Yeah, well, there can be resistance in some schools, but schools are able to make arrangements where particular teachers maybe don't feel equipped to do that, and they can get assistance from outside the school if they have to do that. But I think what Cian is saying is there is need for a greater programme in the schools, because it could be from any age when people are in schools. And now we have information on this that we didn't have, in truth, before. We all suspected that, but I think most of us are surprised by the scale of it, and the additional information coming out in the next weeks ahead, but the breakdown that will be helpful.
I think there's a huge gap in the education system where it's peer to peer, where you've had an incident and maybe there was no consent, but there was a misunderstanding on the part of the perpetrator, either because person in question, the girl, as we'll put it, didn't actually say no because she was inebriated, or there was some, maybe her drink was spiked. And I think this then is where the peers pile on and it becomes very difficult. And the assault itself is left behind because of the mental anguish and everything.
But you're back
that
to the
developed.
Perpetrator, aren't you there?
You're back to education, and education for where consent means, where no means no, is not science-based, okay. It's education-based.
But this is where we need to have very, you know, the same level of consent education in every school, so that everybody in the country, and not just in schools, I mean, this needs to be done in society, everybody in the country knows and understands when it comes to consent that only yes means yes and anything else is not consent. And the fact that that isn't done throughout our schools. You know, some are very good at this and some do get in outside speakers and people from rape crisis centres and do this really thoroughly. Others simply don't and are able to opt out of doing that because we do not have a comprehensive fact-based, science-based relationship sexuality education in our schools in 2023. How is that possible that we're still at this stage where we don't have that?
Well, recently RTE aired a TV programme where they brought young students in and they asked them, it was mind-boggling, it didn't come as a surprise, but I think it did to a lot of people who heard what young men said about pornography, and they didn't think that the aggression level from themselves wasn't normal. They understood it to be normal because what they'd learned, they'd learned from social media or pornography sites.
Okay. The last thing I'd say on that, I think a number of the people who disclosed as part of the survey what had happened to them stated they'd never even told anybody else other than the surveyor. Yeah. So they hadn't told even their peers, they hadn't told the teacher, they hadn't told their parents, they didn't tell a brother or sister.
For greater spread of services.
That's exactly the point.
Half of women and only a quarter of men had actually disclosed it to anyone who were in the survey, and that's an incredibly serious point.
Okay.